are blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We do and should know that we are a three-part being. Amen. We are a spirit. We possess a soul, which is made up of our mind, our emotions, and our will. And we live in this body. We need to maintain the coherency to the fact that I truly am a spirit being, the real me. When I got born again, my spirit got born again, didn't yours? Amen. My spirit came back alive unto God. Amen. We need to understand, and we said this before the other Sunday when we were up here that morning, God doesn't speak to us in our mind. It's not in the soulish realm we hear from God. It's not in the physical realm we hear from God. Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." God speaks to us through our spirit. It says over in Romans 8, it says, our spirit bears witness that we are the sons of God. It says that. Our spirit, the real us. Amen. When I got saved, the new man became new. Old things passed away. All things become new and all things became God. Amen. But God desires, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord. God desires, what's the word I want to use? God desires that our body, our soul, gets linked up with our inner man till we're at sync all the way around. You understand what I'm saying? We're working together. Amen. Just like I'm into old cars now. You know, I want my carburetor adjusted and I want my points. Got an old school car. I want my points right. I want my plugs right. I want my fuel right. I want it all synced together, right? So it runs better. God desires that you and I allow the inner man to dominate the soulish man in the flesh. You agree with that? Do you agree with that? That's His desire. That's His desire. Okay, I said this. You're a spirit. You possess a soul, which is your mind, your emotions, and your will, and you live in a body. The spirit is the real you. Okay, here's something I said the other Sunday up here. Without the spirit, the body is dead. And I'll quote you a verse. James chapter 2, verse 26 says it this way. As for the body, it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so as without faith, without works, faith is dead." That's James 2:26. What are you saying, Brother Tony? All of humanity, every human being, is spirit, soul, and body. We all agree with that, right? When the spirit of a man leaves, that body dies. It dies. And like we said the other Sunday, well, we're born again, right? We have the very presence of God living inside our spirit, don't we? On the inside of us. You know, the Bible says, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he said, you individually and you collective are the temple of God. He dwells in us. Amen. He lives in our spirit man, the Spirit of God does, through the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You agree with that? So as Christians, God wants us to learn and ascertain the fact that His very presence living in our spirit man will quicken, as Sissy and I pray every day, we pray this prayer, we pray it this way. Father, thank You that Your Spirit gives direction to our spirit, gives illumination to our mind, and strength to our body. You know God wants to do that in your life? He wants to what? He wants to give direction to you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He wants to lead you in every affair of life, right? He wants to give illumination to your mind. In other words, He wants you to learn to take on the mind of Christ. That's why it says in the book of James that we take the engrafted word. which is able to save what? The soul, which is the mind, the emotions, and the will. The engrafted Word of God, grafted in, it says in one translation, the implanted Word is able to save the soul. Now get where I'm going. For you and I to take the written Word, let it become a rhema word to our soulish man, and let that soulish man get linked up with our spirit man, where all God's wisdom and all God's knowledge and all God's blessings are at. Do you understand that? You remember, if you would, put this up. It just come to me. Put up Ephesians 1:17 a minute, and you can use the New King James Version. This is the prayer of Paul. I want to show you something. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Actually, brothers and sisters, the word thee is not in the Greek. It says God would want to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Okay, go to the next verse, 18. Because I'm going to hit that about the A and the V in a minute. Go to verse 18, if you don't mind. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Look at the first part of this verse. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know. In other words, what this is saying, this is Paul praying to the church at Ephesus. This is what we should be praying over our own life and the life of others, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. In other words, God wants to flood your psyche, soul, this part of you, with the wisdom that's deposited in your spirit, man. You got that? You know, true revelation comes is when your understanding is enlightened, and this, and you get what's on the inside of your spirit, man, and you say, I see it. You ever had that happen? I see it. You ever been walking around and something comes to you from the Word of God and you've never seen it before and you say, I see it. You know. You know. In other words, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know. And here's the points he's made here. The hope of your calling, which is the rapture of the church. What are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints? Go to the next verse if you don't mind. Look at that verse there. What is the riches of the glory in the saints? That's what I'm talking about. You got these riches in your inner man. You understand that? You got them in here, in your spirit man. And God wants your spirit man and your soulish man to couple together so you can see it and know it. Amen? That's why you take the engrafted Word and you plant it in your soul. And I heard a brother say in the day, I was listening to some teaching along these lines, if you've ever had a kidney transplant, I know a brother with a heart transplant, a liver transplant, from a medical standpoint, they tell you, you got to take medicine always to keep your body from rejecting that organ. This not real, has been your organ, it's your organ now, but it wasn't your organ. You take medication to keep your body from rejecting that organ. Now get to where I'm coming from. You have to take the engrafted Word, the implanted Word, into your psyche soulish man, and you have to keep feeding on it. You have to, just like you have to keep taking medicine to keep that kidney to keep working for your body, because it's in a foreign place. You understand what I'm saying? So here's the point. Here's the point. Your soul and your flesh don't want what the Spirit of God has, because it's called carnality. The carnal man's at enmity against God. It's at enmity against God. So you have to keep planting the Word of God in your psyche soulish man. That's why it says to be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Word says that. You have to keep planting that Word, planting that Word. Here you go, Romans 12, Brother Jim's word. Romans 12, 2, let's quote one. Paul writing to the church at Rome when he said to the Gentiles, he said, you know, you've been lucky. It was for the Jew, but you've been grafted in, Gentiles. So he said, I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or spiritual worship, and be not conformed to this world. but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Transform in the Greek there is metamorphosize. It's taking a cocoon and turning it into a butterfly. The Word of God will transform you. It'll get in your inner soulish man and cause your soulish man to couple up with the spirit man, the real one. The one that Jesus said, remember Jesus said this, the spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. Right? The inner man wants to do right. The real you wants to do right. That's why we've got that verse I quote many times. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. The Bible says that the love of God's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost in the new birth. I know I have had to use that verse a lot when the devil said, you really ain't saved, especially in my beginning walk. And I would say, honor, you're wrong. Because I love what I hated and hated what I love now on the inside of me, right? The inner man was changed. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, he said, you were under a triple curse before you came to Christ. And part of that triple curse were you was dead in your trespasses and your sins. You were walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. But God, who was rich in mercy, amen? Thank God, amen? God wants us to be presented blameless in the arena of our life here now, to let our spirit and our soul start to couple together as one. And in doing that, the soulish man, which I call the central control, the mind, that causes that flesh to line up, because that flesh is going to always want to go this way. But once you get that word engrafted in your mind and you get it on the inside of you up here, you go, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Now I'm going to back up here a minute. Look at the 19th verse. We know, the Spirit of God said, I want your understanding enlightened that you'll know this too. What is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Next verse. That He wrought in Christ, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Amen. God wants you to know the exceeding greatness of His power that He worked out for you. Amen. My mentor, Brother Yandian, told us 40 years ago that verse. He said, with the finger of God, He flipped and made the universe, all the heavenlies. With the hand of God, He made earth. All this is in the Word of God, by the way. He fashioned earth for His man. But with the arm of the Lord, He wrought salvation for us. And like Brother Yandian taught us, he said, you got more strength where? In your arm than in your hand and in your finger. All of hell came against the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit when the plan of redemption was accomplished through Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. Did you hear that? All of hell broke loose. But God said, I got this. I got this. Like Pastor teaches us, God's always got a plan when the devil throws something at us, right? And God had a plan before the foundations of the earth, like Pastor taught us the other night. Amen. But getting to my point, I wanted to point that prayer out. It brings it to this. God wants your psyche soul, the eyes of your understanding enlightened, that you can know things. It's already in your spirit, man. He's dwelling there, isn't He? Greater is He that's in me, amen, than he that's in the world. Amen. Okay, so James, I left you on my notes. James 2:26 said, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So there's dirt. Here you go again. As a Christian who has the Holy Spirit in me, as I yield to His presence, as I do, as Paul said to the church at Ephesus, I be being filled, staying full of the Spirit of God. Guess what? I should believe what me and my wife pray. You know, there's a verse that says it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. I believe that. I believe that. Listen, brothers and sisters, it's the spirit of a human being that causes the heart muscle to go. Did you hear me? It's the spirit of a human being that caused the nerve endings to fire. Are you with me? That's why. Without the spirit, the body is dead. God created us. Remember this? God said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness. You know that's there, right? The Bible says God, Jesus went, so He made us how? The same way it says God is. It says God is what? A spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Right? So He created us spirit beings. We all agree, right? And we all agree that our inner man has got it together, but we have to do something to the soul and the flesh, right? Are we there? Amen? Okay. Oh, I just read that. That's good. Now I got something else. This is something Brother Kenneth stirred me about Sunday morning. You can go, and he's got it on his phone. He showed it to me today, a while ago. Over at Daystar, they had a video of conception when the sperm and the egg came together and they slowed it up. And when the two came together, all of a sudden a light flashed and it come alive. Do you know what that light was? I'm getting ready to show you what that light was. At the new birth, we become a new creation in Christ. If then we went there, okay. Okay, we're going to go past that. Okay, we're going to go here. If you would, put chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, the 9th verse, on the screen. I'm going to show you what that light was. John chapter 1, verse 9. Go to verse 8 and we'll read 8 and 9 together if you don't mind. He was not the light, speaking of John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Did you know God lights the spirits of every person that's born into the world? Did you know that light that's seen on that video, and it's legit, that flashes when they slow it down, is the spirit leaping into that creation? You think about that. That's true. Dad Hagin taught me 40 years ago. He said, one of the teachers at Raymond was talking, and he was talking. He said, well, who is it that lights every spirit? God does. Huh? Okay? Now, to help you with that, what do you think? Why? Here you go. When a little child dies early, you know, there are those days, everybody's born in sin when they come into the world, right? Well, listen, when a little child dies early, don't you know their spirit's alive unto God? Did you hear what I said? Where did it happen? At conception. How do you know that right there? Listen to me. You remember what Paul said? Paul writing to the church at Rome, he said, I was alive unto the law, but the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. He was alive unto the law. He was alive. His spirit was lit up. But when the commandment came, sin revived and he died. That's why, as Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, we have to be born again. Are you with me? We have to be born again. A little child's spirit's alive unto God. The old school people that I grew up, my mama and my grandma were in ministry. My grandma used to preach on WBSC Bennettsville. And boy, they weren't into women preaching. My grandma preached on Sunday on the radio. But here's the deal. Growing up in church, in Pentecostal circles, Baptist circles, we had this deal. Here's what we would call it. The age of accountability. Y'all ever heard that? Some of you new folks probably never heard it. We used to say the age of accountability. What does that mean? That means when the age of accountability is when the commandment comes, sin revives, and you die. That's why you have to get born again. I was a 9-year-old boy at the Dillon Church of God. I can look back. You know, I can look back. I was alive unto God till I got a certain age. And then I died. And then as a 9-year-old boy at the Dillon Church of God on a Sunday night with a bunch of hollering and yelling guys on top of me at the altar, "Save him, God!" You know, I got saved. But I know I got saved. When I got up that night from that little altar at the Dillon Church of God with a 9-year-old boy, I knew I was ready. I knew I was right. I went home, told my daddy, he wasn't going to church. I told my daddy, I said, "If I die, daddy, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven." I was alive under the law. The commandment came, sin revived, and I died. So I had to get born again. Amen? So my spirit's alive unto God since I got born again. Amen? And it was that prior to when the commandment came and I died in the middle there. But I know as a small boy, I had fellowship with the Father. I knew. Young children, brothers and sisters, when they die, they go back to heaven. Amen? And, you know, they tell us now the age of accountability ain't a certain age. It's more apt to do with the environment the child's brought up in. You understand that? I hope. So anyway, the commandment came, sin revived. I died, Paul said. But we got born again, didn't we? Okay. All right. Okay, let me read you my note here. Our minds are the control center of our life. Your mind lays between your spirit and your body. We are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, Ephesians 4:23. Can you put that up in the Amplified Translation? Ephesians 4:23. And it goes back to what I said, you got to keep, just like you have to keep taking the meds to keep your body accepting that transplant, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. You have to constantly do it, brothers and sisters. You have to constantly do it. You know, we live in a world, a cosmos, that Satan's God of. You with me, right? Adam sold out. He committed high treason. So the devil is the god of the world system. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that very clearly. Satan's god of the world system. We're dealing with it daily, moment by moment. Satan being the god of the world system, he does everything he can to pull me and you away from doing this, being constantly renewed in the spirit of our mind. He does everything he can to distract us from the things of the Father. Amen? He does everything he can. You cut your TV on, you're not seeing something that's going to help you get constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. You're going to see the opposite all the time. You get in the car, you cut your radio on, you're going to hear everything that's contradicting the Word of God and the things of God and the presence of God. Amen? Satan is God of the cosmos. He's God of the world system. He has set it up that way and worked to set it up more and more that way to keep us, the church, from being close to our Heavenly Father. You agree with that? Huh? You agree with that? That's just the truth. That's just the truth. He does all he can to keep me and you away from doing the things that please the Father. Amen? We're to be transformed, I said. Okay, Philippians 2:12 says it this way. We are to, you can put that up there, Philippians 2:12. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much, much more in my absence, what does it say? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Listen to me. That ain't saying, you know, you ought to. That's saying to do it. The Greek says, you need to do it. It's pretty directive. You need to be working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, I'm born again. I don't have to. Yeah, you do. You got to work this here soulish man to get lined up with this inner man. And you got to tell this flesh, no. Because the flesh is going to say, yes. You know, Paul said to us in one of the letters, he said, in my flesh, there is no good thing, didn't he? In my flesh, there's nothing good. Huh? That's why, going back to what I quoted a while ago, Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, when he's talking to him about prayer, he said, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. He wasn't just saying, it's because they're tired and they're sleepy, they can't pray. No. It's because their flesh nature don't want to pray. Hey, listen to me. You get up in the morning and you say, I'm going to fast today. I'm going to fast today. You watch what that flesh starts doing. You watch what good-minded people will do. Walk by, you say, hey man, I just bought a dozen donuts. Don't you want one? You understand my point though. Your flesh is going to say, yes, 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 huh? You know, when I get off tonight, when I go home, and you know, my wife's got me watching all my sweets I ate, there's some good chocolate chip cookies in there on the counter in a container, and you know, I'm going to go in there tonight, and I'm going to be tested, you know. Am I going to go over here and get 4 chocolate chip cookies in a glass of milk, or am I going to say, I ain't going to do it, I'm going to resist it. Right? Are y'all with me? That's just the facts, brothers and sisters. But God wants you and I, He's wanting you and I to get to a place that our spirit is the dominant factor in our lives. Really. He's wanting you, and you know, I can couple this with something I've said here maybe 2 or 3 times. I know I heard the Lord say, I'm riding in my car. I said, I heard the Lord say, I'm going to give you 3 words. And He said, they all start with the same letter. Fresh, fervent, and full. He said, that's what I want you to be. I want you to have a fresh anointing. I want you to stay full of my spirit. And I want you to be fervent about me. Fervent means being on fire for God, having passion. See, God wants us to maintain a spirit-filled life. God wants us, in doing that, He's telling us, He said, to do that, you have to have a fresh renewal daily of my word and my presence. And sadly, brothers and sisters, and I'm not throwing stones, I'm just stating fact, most of the time, the only time a lot of Christians get anything is when they come in here and sit down. Let's get real. Only time. And you know, we even full gospel, tongue-talking, charismatics, people, you know, I did good. I went to church, man. I'm good. And they lay everything else before them better. They go, whoop, whoop, whoop. And they say, well, I'll be good. I'll go Wednesday. I'll be all right. I'll go Wednesday. I'll be good. I'll go Sunday morning early. I'll go to this. I'm talking to me now. I go to prayer. I go to Sunday school. I'll listen to the brother. I'll take notes. I'm good. So when I go out that door, hey man, I've earned me some time for me. Come on now. Let's get real about it. Let's be real about it. Well, let me tell you something. This month, next week, 44 years ago, Me and Sissy walked in the old Keys Furniture Building, 1980, the week before Thanksgiving, on a Sunday. We walked in the old Keys Furniture Building in Sherrill. Pastor James and Miss Catherine were in that building. That Sunday, my life turned around. You got me? I began to change and change and change. You understand? Getting to my point of just getting just enough. Do you hear what I said? Just enough. I'm good, God. I'm good. You know, I'm good. I'm Sundaying. I'm Sunday. I'm Wednesdaying. Yeah, I'm good. You know, but the rest of the week, some of them, you get around them, you wouldn't know if they was worldly or not. You wouldn't know if they was Christian or not. I'm just being straight about it. Now, I'm going to take you to me. 44 years ago, next week, when I came to the Lord and Cece came to the Lord, we were desperate. We were destitute. I had went through a bad marriage. I had lost my wife. I had lost my kids. She had all kind of mess going on too. We came to the Lord. We were desperate. We were tired of living for the devil and getting beat up. I pointed out at her, and she might be watching tonight. I pointed out at her at Food Town, where we were then, not Food Line. She was blocking cookies. Carol Gully's a guy been witnessing to me. He would witness to me. I'd cuss him out and go in my cooler and cry because I knew he was telling the truth. He kept throwing light at me. I had a lot of religion in me. He would tell me things like, you know, the devil didn't steal your family. I said, what about Job? Devil didn't steal your family. You're in his territory. That's why this is happening to you. Light. I'd cuss him out, go in the cooler and cry. I pointed at Cece one day. She was a little 18-year-old girl in the store. I pointed at her. I said, Lord, if you'll give me somebody like her, I'll quit this. I'm tired of it. And I was doing all the bad stuff you do when you've gone through a marriage and you're out trying to fill your life of hurt. I was doing bad things. I was doing bad stuff with a bunch of people. But I pointed, I don't like this life. If you'll give me somebody like her, I said, I'll quit this. Lord, I knew you at 9 years of age. I ran from you as a mid-aged teenager. It's been miserable all these years. It's only got worse. And I'm at the end. If you'll just give me somebody like that. Didn't know it. Same time I was doing that, she told me later about all this. She lived in a very, you could say, abusive family. Billy Graham come on TV. They'd have it on. She'd run in her little bedroom at her house and get on her knees and say, I don't even know how to get to you, God, but I need you like that man on TV said. Send me somebody that'll help me walk with you. She was saying that when I was saying that about her. Was it God? I believe so. Amen, but what I'm getting at to where we are today, we were desperate. We were desperate. You know, I'm going to talk to you about somebody real quick. Mary Magdalene got much forgave, and she got a whole lot given to her as far as a new life. She was there at the tomb, wasn't she? Huh? When you've been through it all and been through it bad, and then you come to Christ and He gives you a new life, you want to be around God. You want to be in the Word of God. You want to be in the presence of God. But I can say this. I still have a zeal for Him, and I have seen a lot, and Kenneth can contest to this, attest to it. We've seen a lot of folks used to be cranked up, big time cranked up. They're gone. They're here, they're there, they're gone. We've seen a lot of them cranked up. They're just not there no more. But I'm still here, and I'm going to stay with it, because all I got to do is, as that girl sings, I remember. Where I was, and I know where He's brought me to, and I've got to have Him. Now, I'm as human as you are. I mess it up sometimes and miss it, but I know one thing. 1 John 1:9, I know how to do that real quick, don't you? Confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. I say, Father, forgive me. I get up real quick, like Brother Yanian taught me. Just get up real quick when you fall. Amen. Get up real quick. Lord, I'm sorry. But getting back to my point, at the beginning verse, the anchor verse, God desires your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming. God wants you to be in sync, spirit, soul, and body. In other words, God wants your mind renewed. God wants you thinking what the Word says. God's wanting you to. Remember what? Here's a verse. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? Through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to multiply grace and peace to you. He wants to multiply His grace in your life. He wants to multiply His peace in your life. But it only comes through the knowledge. And that word knowledge is the word that means this. You hear it and you start to apply it and it starts to be part of you. In other words, you're starting to obey the real you on the inside and areas of your life. Amen? God wants to bless us and God wants to help us. God wants to see us over. He wants to continually bless us. Now, I've got something, if I think I've wrote it down, that I got, I mean, today. You know, I have got up here lately to do the offering, and I've quoted Isaiah 1:19. You remember that one? If you can, put Isaiah 1:19 on the screen. Isaiah 1:19. It says this. It says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Doesn't it say that? Those of you that know it, and I've been quoting it a lot lately. Okay. I didn't know this, but I kept hearing the Lord talk to me, and He's been talking to me about the will of man. Pastor James mentioned that up here from the pulpit. God's gave us a will, has He not? That's a precious thing to have. You know, it says in Revelations, whosoever will, let him come and take of the tree of life, doesn't it? Whosoever will. Whosoever will. He's gave us a will. Amen. The word will in Isaiah 1:19 brings out the point of having a desire. You're willing. I've got a willing desire. And then it goes and says obedient. Let me read you what obedient means. To hear and understand so you can obey. Think about that. You read that verse, if you're willing and obedient, you're good to land. That means I got to get all this right. No, you need to hear with a willing heart to obey. Getting back to what I just quoted you, it fits right here. Grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge. Your obedience comes as you allow the inner man to be the dominant factor in your life. And you have renewed your mind to the fact that you know what God's Word says about your situation. Are you with me? Obedient. Again, I'll say it. Look it up in the Hebrew. I did. To hear and understand so you can learn to obey. To hear and understand. Amen? We got up here the other week and we ministered about that that word that says, where Jesus said, if you have ears that keep hearing, you'll get more. And then He goes on down and He says, but those that have not, that they will lose what they have. Meaning what? If you don't have a hearing ear, you'll lose what you got. That spoke volumes to me. That made me want to have more of the Word of God in my life. Saying what, Tony? Saying, I understand if I don't keep hearing, I can lose what I have. Getting back to what I said about a transplant, an implant. You have to implant the engrafted Word. And you have to consistently do it all the time. All the time. You got to keep hearing the Word. All the time. You can't live, as my mentor said, and I'm getting ready to close, you cannot live on stale manna. You can't do it. You can't live a life. Well, you can, but you won't reap the benefits of the blessings. Let me say it right. Getting back to my other point. You can come on Sunday. You can come on Wednesday. But if that's all you feed in your spirit, you're actually in disobedience. Don't take me wrong, but it's the truth. When Pastor James says this to us, I want you to get this down in your spirit. Do you know the ramification of that? And what he's saying by the Spirit of God is that I don't want you just to hear it one time. I want you to keep hearing it. I want you to ponder it. You know, we didn't get there, and we won't get there for time's sake. But you know, the Word of God desires for you and I to train our human spirit. Train our human spirit. And how do you do that? Number one, you meditate on the Word of God. Meditate means mutter, ponder, think on, rehearse over and over and over again. I say this a lot of times. What does that mean to you, Tony? A lot of times, because I've had to stand against physical things many times. I'll walk around and go, surely He bore my griefs. He carried my sorrows. I did esteem Him smitten, stricken of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement or the bond of my peace was upon Him. And with His stripes I am healed. And I'll say it again, surely He bore my griefs and He carried my sorrows. I did esteem Him smitten, stricken of God. I'll walk around and say it. I'll do my walking and say it. I'll sit there and quote it and say it. You need to ponder, murmur, mutter the Word of God. You need to speak the promises of God over your life consistently all the time. Because I got news for you. The devil who's over the cosmos is going to do everything he can to infiltrate your mind. Your mind. Your mind is the center of your controlling part. Your mind. And you know, we did a teaching one time about being a keeper of the gate. Are you a keeper of the gate? The eye gate, what you're looking at? The ear gate, what you're seeing? This thing called your tongue is a gate. What's coming out your mouth? Are you a keeper of the gate? Are you watching what you say? Are you watching what you see? Are you watching what you hear? Are you having, as Proverbs 4 says, do you have an attentive ear? Do you have a steadfast look? Do you have an enshrining heart? Because if you do, you'll have words that become life to you and health to all your flesh. Remember Proverbs 4, 20 through 22 through 24? My son, attend unto my word. You've got to have a steadfast look. You have to have an attentive ear. You have to have an enshrining heart. And it becomes life to you and health to all your flesh. But if you just get a little bit when you hear and out the door, and you know, I said it when I ministered that Sunday morning, Jesus already said 1/4 of the people is going to have good ground. He gave four types. I want to be the fourth to have good ground to pursue fruit, don't you? We get the word here. Like Rebecca said Sunday, we got good soil here. We can plant good seed in our life from getting the word we get here. Amen? So I'm going to close. And I exhort you to allow the triune being of you, spirit, soul, and body, move into a place that it's in sync. It's working together. Because the spirit, the real you, is where the life's at. Amen? The real you is where we get it. The real you is eternal. You will live forever, either in heaven or hell. No in between. Huh? You will never die spiritually. You will live your spirit. You will jump out your body one day. When my daddy got ready to go home, he was seeing angels the day before. In the morning he got ready to die, he said, good morning, Jesus. He said to old mama, I'm going home today. And he went. And when he went and I went back to the hospital, when I walked in the room, I didn't even look at my daddy laying on that bed. You know why? Because I knew where he was. I walked in the room, grabbed my mama's suitcase. I didn't even look at that body laying on there because I knew that's what he lived in and he ain't in there no more. I grabbed it and I left. And he's with Jesus. And mama's with Jesus. And I'll see him one day. Glory to God. Huh? But while we're here, we need to be examples of the kingdom of God to people. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You so much. Thank You so much for this day, this night. Father, thank you for your holy written word, Father. Thank you that we move into a place, Father. Move into a place, Father, where we esteem earthly things lightly.